See. How are you doing? I'm a little sleepy. I'm a little tired. I have been moving what feels like for about 2 months. Packing boxes and moving boxes from one place to another place and then being told, hey, that doesn't go there, and putting it back. I got some funny stories about moving that I want to share this morning. I realize we have way too much stuff, all right? Way too much stuff, and we decided to start giving some stuff away. And there's this place, they had an amazing ministry, and they give stuff away, and they take stuff in so they can give it away, and they had this box that they set outside their place so you can donate. Well, I went a couple times with some of my stuff, and I would just pack that thing full. And I think they got tired of me packing that thing, and they removed the box. So that trip that I was bringing more to, I was like, I guess I'll just put it at their door. I don't know. They could use more, right? Didn't do that. I visited a couple dumpsters, Salvation Army, Goodwill. I just spread the joy all over the place. All right, but I started thinking about all my moves, and I have been part of way too many moves, and I started grading them. I know I'm weird, but start grading my moves, and the very first one that I moved from Olivet to Salem, Illinois was the easiest move. I had furniture that we didn't really care about. It was hand-me-downs from hand-me-downs from hand-me-downs. And so it made it really easy, and we can almost pack just our vehicles full of stuff and say that was the move, yeah, right? And then Salem to Florida was kind of the same thing. I was pretty much, 3 years, 4 years married. We hadn't collected that much stuff. I was just a youth pastor, and we couldn't afford many things, and so life was easy and simple. And so we just packed up our cars and moved down to Florida. Now, Florida to California was probably the most difficult move. We had just purchased a house, and 6 months later, I decided, I should probably move. I think God was calling. It was time for me to be back into ministry. I had taken a step out for a little bit, and I was ready to be back in it, and we had accumulated some stuff, including a kid, and we had to get a trailer. And I was moving from Florida, the furthest place ever to go to California, right? From Florida to California, and first time trailing anything and loading that trailer. And I had the worst stomach flu I have ever had in my entire life. And I'm not gonna go through the graphics of it, but it was bad. I hung out with Pepto-Bismol. Like that, it was right there. It was in the pocket, it was there, and every time, just drink, all right? Survive. My whole thought process during that move, please just survive, and if I have to, find a place immediately, you know. Anyway, you know, to survive. And I was moving, and I was just starting to feel a little bit better, and my father-in-law, who had been sick with the same thing, decided, hey, you need help, let me come down. And he was sick, and I was like, no, stay away, please. And he shows up, and he just laid in the rooms that we were emptying, right? And I was like, oh, I love Glenn. Hey, Glenn, if you're watching, love you. Really do appreciate you. You're not a monster-in-law. You're great. He helped drive the vehicles, but I didn't want to hang out with Glenn because I was like, I don't want to get sick again. That's the worst thing ever. And we had to travel these two vehicles. Michelle decided, I'm going to go stay, you know, I'm not traveling with you. This is how she did her moves back then. She's like, I'll let you do the hard work and I'll fly out eventually when you get settled. She's got it made, all right? She does. She may be the, I give her a hard time, but she's got it made, all right? Every time we've moved, she spends like a month with her family and is like, the house is all set up. This move she didn't get to, right? But that was probably the toughest move because there was a lot of pit stops. And I remember packing that U-Haul and not having a clue. I just put all the heavy stuff in first. Not supposed to do that, apparently. especially when you're trailing, because guess what happens? It can start to lean in, and halfway through, I had to take everything out and repack it. That was fun, right? I had to ask for forgiveness a couple times during that process, got recommitted during that time. God worked on me during that time, right? So I sat down during this move and started grading all that in my mind. And I would have to take a couple breaks during this move, during the move from Decatur, Illinois to Springfield, and I came to some realizations. We have way too much stuff. Way too much stuff. And as you noticed, if you might not have noticed, I'm down a child. We decided to get rid of that child. Made that move so much more easier. All her stuff stayed. It was wonderful. Just kidding. She's with some friends this weekend and camping out. But I thought, man, what a great opportunity. It goes along with the sermon, right? But no, she caused more work. We had to paint her room, ugh, right? So she gets to live in two rooms right now. But it's just, we had too much stuff. And I started thinking about that spiritually. How we have a tendency to carry too much stuff spiritually. And God, in that moment, I was sitting on my porch going, okay, whew, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and it's just all this stuff that I have been moving, and really, we don't need. It's not something that we need. And God sent me to, first off, just the sermon series. And it's just this one, to let it go. And I don't know if a lot of you know that Bajay has sung this one as a solo somewhere, if you remember, Let It Go, that song. And if I was in the office this last week, we would have had that solo lead into this sermon, and you guys would have been blessed. Would have been amazed by it. I will search for it this week, and maybe we'll put it on our Facebook page. And then you can be blessed by that, all right? But Let It Go, and I thought about Frozen. I was like, no, we're not going to go with the Frozen route. But I wanted you to connect with this real quick. Let me see where we're at. We're at Matthew 19, 16 through 26, all right? And it's about the rich young ruler. And he's coming to Jesus. And he's a guy, let me give you some background on this guy. This guy knows Scripture. He knows the Old Testament. He followed the Ten Commandments. He knows what's going on. And he knows of Jesus. He's kind of seen his ministry. He's seen what Jesus has done. And he wants to be a part of it. So he asked Jesus, let me read through this. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? All right, right there. We'll stop with that. He's asking a very poignant question. What do I need to do to get eternal life? Right? So Jesus responds, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want eternal life, keep these commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your mother and father, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. He was a good and upright man, right? So I bear with you. Why is he asking this question? Why is he asking this question when by that time, this is all you had to do? Follow these Ten Commandments and you're good. As I was sitting on my porch, I started thinking about this spiritually. Many of us live in this moment where life is good. I have not killed anybody today, right? Today. A lot of us can say that, right? Hopefully. Right? I haven't committed adultery. I haven't done these things. I've honored my mother and father. I've done these things today, so I'm good. But still sit on our porch and go, something's missing. Something is missing. I sat on my porch as things were moving, and I started thinking about all the things that we individually, when following Christ, are bound by. that we think we can't do because this is who I am and God can't use me. I've written my history. Like, I look at my history just through my moves, and there are things that I regret saying because I've been frustrated and angry and just tired and not exhausted. I will tell you, this move in general, I feel like I've been moving for months, as I said earlier, right? I am so tired. And in, like, we were moving stuff in, what day was that? Thursday? Were we moving stuff in Thursday? I can't even remember what today is. I know it's a Sunday. But we were moving things in Thursday, and I'd be like, where's this box go? And Michelle would say, I don't know. And I'd be like, why don't you know? You know, and it just, she's not supposed to know. I don't. Just put it down. But I could sense, I was quick to the trigger, right? And I started sitting back and going, okay, how can God use me when I react that way? And we start thinking in those terms, right? And this guy, who's a good man, did nothing wrong, knew, sitting in this moment, that he asked this question. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possession. Oh, wait. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? He asked that second question. Think about that. That right there shows you something was missing. Something was missing in his life. He did all the right things, but something was still missing in his life. And so he asked the simple question, what do I still lack? And Jesus knew. And deep down, I think most of us also know what we lack, what we hold on to. We're just afraid to ask that second question because it hammers it home. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. Okay, real quick. Whatever your heart's desires are, let's say your stuff is your heart and desire, the things that you have accumulated define who you are, right? Let's say I am now whatever my address is, and that's associated now with me, right? And God comes up to you and says, listen, I want to define who you are. I want reign and rule over your heart. And if you ask me this question, what is lacking in my life? How can I follow you? Then go and sell everything. Everything. That's sold out. And come and follow me. That's what Jesus says right there. And what happened here? When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, he was defined by this. He had this in him, and he knew within his heart, this is what it was going to take to follow Jesus. He knew what was lacking was the passion that drove him. He was a young, wealthy man who had his status, and he was good. But something was still missing. He followed all the rules and followed what God in the Old Testament was saying, but something was still missing. And that something is commitment. That something is purpose. Many of us have a different kind of purpose that's not aligned with God. And if we ask the second question, like this young man did, we need to expect an honest answer back. That's going to probably be painful. You see, there was many things that we were packing up. And I live close enough now to my mom. Every time she would come and visit, everything that I had stored up from my childhood, she kept. And all suddenly became every trip that she came, dropped off. So like, old soccer uniforms that I try to fit into, they don't fit anymore. My little awards that I had, the Christmas ornaments that I made, One weird thing that my mom would always bring every time was a cooler. And she goes, oh, you could use this. And I had like 8 coolers in my house. And I had to tell my mom, stop with the coolers. I don't need any more coolers. We're not big partiers. I don't know. One cooler per person, please. Like, that's just how it was. And I just, all of a sudden, my basement was full of all this stuff. And we'd bring up a box, and it was this moment of like, can I give this up? Can I throw it away? And this is simple things. These are simple things. And I will tell you, probably by like the third time that I had a trip and moving stuff up, I was like, yeah, I can give this up. Yeah, I don't need this anymore. I'm never going to wear this soccer uniform again. I was 8. I tried to give it to Jackson, but he wouldn't take it. But I decided it's not worth it. It's not worth the move. It's not worth trying to find a place. It's not worth these things. And I started thinking about spiritually within my own life, the things that I hold on to from my past that have a tendency to define who I am in my spiritual walk with God today. That limits me. That enables me to say, yes, I will sell all this stuff and go and follow you. Think about that. That's true freedom when nothing owns you but Jesus Christ. Think about that. That you can walk away from everything and go, God, you are my one and only, and I say yes to you. What that life looks like, it has true purpose, true meaning, true value, because all of a sudden you are sold out for God, and you're not defined by your own mistakes. You're not defined by this world. You're only defined by the loving Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you. That's what you're defined by. It's a simple message this morning. Very simple. Let me read the rest of the scripture real quick because it's important. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that rich there is different. It does mean money, but it also means rich in a way of like just life. Rich in a way of things that bring value to yourself. We live in a rich lifestyle, whether within our own context, whether in our own little area, like middle class to low class, if you look at the world as a standard, as a whole, we are rich. I talked a couple weeks about going to El Salvador with 27 teens, and it changed their lives because it changed their perspective of what is rich and what is poor and what they have and what a world doesn't have. And it's life-changing. But I'm not even going to talk about, like, monetary things. I'm not talking about homes. I'm not talking about to money that makes us rich. We have different values that make us rich. We have friendships that make us rich. And it kind of within this context, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. If your life is good and you think you have made it, it's hard for you to depend on anybody else because you made it. You're that sinner. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. I consider myself rich because I have tons of friends. I have a home. I have an awesome family. I'm very blessed. And a lot of us, I think, could say the same thing if we really step back and look at it. Would I be willing to walk away from it all if Christ asked me to follow him? Think about that. These are all things that I have made. And I'm not saying you need to leave this morning and go sell everything. But I'm asking you, are you ready to sell your life out to God? Are you ready to make Him the center of every decision within every context that you live in? Every friendship you have, does God come first? Every job you take, does God come first? Every political view you have, does God come first? You see, our life within this context, within this scripture, is one that resembles one of our knee bowing down to our King and saying yes to Him. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" By this simple statement, nobody can be, because they recognized it. And the disciples were not rich people, but they were rich in community, rich in people that they knew. They understood it, right? And so he said, Jesus looked at him and said, "With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible." Hear that. All things are possible with God. I look at this statement, and I look at this question of this young man, and I see where God, and he knew something was missing in his life. He was a good man. He probably had a great stature within his community. He probably helped a lot of people. But he knew something was missing. This morning, I wonder within this, if we, or if anybody in here, needs to ask the second question. What do I lack? How can I follow you? What do I need to have eternal life with you? Some of us, it might be a chance that I need to recommit my life, and all the baggage that I have been carrying with me doesn't need to define me, but from this point on, I need to let it go and allow God to start defining who I am and what I am. My hope as a pastor is that you don't come here to worship me, that you don't come here to be entertained by me, you don't come here expecting me, how do I put it, to be the one for you. My hope is as we come here that we come seeking out God with the same question every time. God, how can I have eternal life? God, how do I lack in this area? What do I lack in my life that is a separation between me and you? And if we have that genuine question, guess what we need to be ready for? That real answer. To me, it takes a lot of guts to ask this question. It takes a lot of guts to say, okay, I hear that. And it takes a lot of guts to follow that. You know, the disciples had so much time with Jesus, and they had such an amazing relationship with Jesus. And there was many people that came along that time that saw this going on, and they wanted it, and they would ask for it, and they say, "Hey, we want to follow you too, Jesus." But he knew what was going on in their lives. And they say, "Let me follow you, but let me also tend to my family. Let me bury my father." And Jesus said some harsh words at that time, if you remember them. He said, "No, let the dead bury their dead." Whew. I remember reading that the first time as a teenager going, okay, this is kind of mean. Why wouldn't he let him bury his father? And I started researching, and I understood within that context what they were saying is his dad's not necessarily dead. They just would wait around because that's what they did. It was part of their culture that they waited and helped And within that context, they part of their culture was, I need to be here until they die, and then I can go and help. And Jesus is like, no, if you follow me, you follow me. And it's time to go. He also talked about how the, you know, foxes have holes and people have beds to sleep in, and if you follow me, you have none of that. It's a sacrifice. And I started thinking about, what does it mean to sacrifice to follow Jesus? I think that's a question that we have to walk away with this morning. That are we ready to ask that second question? Are we ready to be like the young rich ruler who followed? I look out here and we have a lot of great people. We have a lot of great people in this church. And I'm excited to get to know you. But God didn't call good people to follow him. He called people to sacrifice everything to follow him. He called us to lay our own wants and desires down at his feet and him satisfy all those desires. You get that? It's a tough thing. It's not easy. I sat and on my porch and I was moving all my stuff, and at that moment it was an easy, yes, Lord, I'll sell everything and go. I was just done. My back hurt. But it would be a tough call. It would be tough to just give up everything. But the greatest thing that we know about that, though, is with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. This morning, I want you to walk away with hope. I want you to walk away with, you know, this question, am I ready to give up everything for you? But also know, you know, in this, it's only possible because Jesus Christ. It's only possible because of God. It's only possible because of God. And if we have this heart in our mind and for ourselves, think about that with your neighbor, your friend, your enemy. That all things are possible with God. And I'm called to love my neighbor, my friend, my enemy, because all things are possible with God. And when I do those things, I've fully submitted my life to God. The things that I lack, the things that are lacking in my relationship with Jesus come to fruition because it's only possible through God. So it makes it easy to praise him for what he's done in my life. With moving, when I've noticed this last week, when I became to a moment where I would stop and I still had a lot of stuff, guess what would happen when I stopped? I just didn't want to pick anything else up. I was done. If I stopped the whole process just to take a break, it took me like 2 hours if it was like I had the rest of the day to get going. I don't know about you, but that's how it was for me. And I would say 5 o'clock, if I sat down and we still had more stuff to do, I was done. See, this is how this life is spiritually. Many of us get to the point spiritually, all right, all right, God, I know you've been asking me to do this, but this isn't a miracle for me to forgive, to let go, to live the way you want me to live. I need to take a break. In fact, I might even take some steps back because it's more comfortable where I was. And you know what God says? Okay, I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you, but you're not going to know my true love in that moment. You're not going to know what I had in store for you in that moment. But what I am going to do is I'm going to come along and sit next to you while you rest, and remind you that all things are possible through me. And remind you, you don't need whatever you're hanging on to, that I am your hope, that I am your love, that I am your salvation. And then you have a choice. I admire the young man who asked the question twice, because he knew something was missing. I think we need to start asking the question, Lord, what am I lacking? How can I draw closer to you today? And be ready for the answer. And it might be painful. But find hope that with God, all things are possible. Let's pray. God, we lift you up this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done. Wherever we're at this morning, dear Lord, I pray that we have the courage to ask you, what am I lacking? What do I need to let go of so I can follow you? Lord, I pray that we have that courage. I pray that we have that ability this morning just to pray that. And Lord, I pray that we listen and we hear your voice, or we hear your spirit, and we know what we need to do. Lord, we come to a point with our relationship where we either say yes to you or we say no. We either keep growing with you and following you, or we sit still and may even turn away from you. Lord, this morning we find hope knowing that you will chase after us and love us, and continue to show us that there is hope in you. There is salvation in you. We thank you for that determination. We thank you for that willingness to always continue to forgive us. Lord, this morning I pray that we understand that our hope resides in you. That our life is new in you daily. And this morning I pray that we can find that we can understand that we can know that this week, when we find ourselves sitting and exhausted from the week, that we have a moment with you where we desire to draw closer to you. And we ask how. Lord, maybe it's removing things from our lives. Maybe it's forgiving ourselves of things that we've done in the past. Maybe it's going and asking for forgiveness, Lord. Whatever it is that we need to draw closer to you, that we say yes to. Lord, I pray that we know that we're not in this alone, too. I pray that you surround us with others that will help us and disciple us and love us and help us draw closer in our walk with you. Lord, we thank you for the honest conversation that this young man had with you. I pray that we have some of those ourselves this week. We love you, Lord. And I pray that the rest of this week, we have opportunities to encounter you. and be loved by you, and that we recognize it and we say yes to it. May we live in the hope that you provide. May we share the love that you give so freely to us. May we understand what salvation is. And I know, Lord, I just pray that we embrace it. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for what he did on the cross for us. We thank you for the cost that it is that he did, that he gave his life for us. Lord, I pray that we follow in his footsteps. Love as he loved. We go in his name. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week. Have a great weekend. Have all your cookouts today, all right? And know that God loves you.